Welcome to our podcast on this Friday evening. God bless you for being here with us. I'm once again excited to be doing this and sharing with you. I'm excited about everything that God is revealing to us and that He's doing. And, you know, so much of what you read about in the Word of God is done, we'll just call it behind the scenes. It's not openly done until that time that God decides to reveal it. And that's kind of what's happening, I believe, with the remnant in the world today. God is preparing a remnant. We talk about we have an ark here at the City on the Hill for the remnant. And if you're not in that ark, you might not recognize it. But God is building a remnant here, and I believe He's preparing a remnant, again, to the uttermost parts of the earth. He's preparing a remnant. Again, let me reiterate something that maybe it's been a while since we've talked about. But the remnant is small. It's small. And we talked about this in the book I wrote about the remnant. The remnant is small. It's just a small piece. The example we use week after week is in Elijah's day. Elijah said, God, there's nobody but me. I'm the last one. And God said, well, you're not the last one. You're close, but you're not the last one. He said, there's still 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee. And we think of that, well, there were 7,000, but that's nothing. Different estimates that I've seen say that there is between 7 to 14 million, if not more, people in Israel at that day. But let's say at the minimum 7 million of what was supposed to be God's people, and only 7,000, that's what the remnant was left. And so a lot of what you see with the remnant is kind of hidden right now, but I know in my heart God's doing things. And I would just want to reach out to you that if God is touching your heart, saying that you know that there's things that you don't have yet, you don't see yet, but you desire it, come join us. Come see what God is doing. I tell people this is a historic anointing in this place at the City on the Hill. Come find out more about what that means to be a historic anointing. God has given us many promises, and when God promises, it has to happen. And so I just want to talk for a few moments this evening about a scripture. Maybe expound on it just a bit. It's a scripture we all know very well. If you've been in any kind of Sunday school or grew up in church in any way whatsoever, I'm sure you're familiar with Isaiah chapter 40. In Isaiah chapter 40, we're going to begin in verse 29. This is what it says. It says, He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And again, I'm not going to be very long on this podcast, but I believe there's just a couple of things that God put on my heart as I was sitting here that I want to share with you, because I believe people use this scripture as a cop-out to not do what God is telling them to do, to not do what God is asking them to do. There's a difference between waiting on the Lord and waiting. You're not talking about the same thing to say, well, I'm waiting. That's what 99% of Christians do. They wait. But there's a difference between waiting and waiting on the Lord. That when the Bible says here, it says to wait on the Lord, the literal translation is to twist something. To twist it and to bind together and twist it. That's the idea of of when it says to wait on the Lord. It's kind of like, I guess, if we talk about the cords, the Bible talks about the threefold cord and taking the three cords and twisting them together. That's the idea behind waiting on the Lord. And the thought of this is that if you're waiting on the Lord, you're binding yourself to God. You're not just sitting and waiting and throwing your hands up and saying, all right, God, come do something. Send me an angel, God. Send me this. Do this. I'm waiting, God. That's not the idea of what it means to wait on the Lord. The idea of waiting on the Lord means to bind and to twist together something, because you're binding and you're holding on and you're twisting yourself up in the Lord. I remember many years ago being taught that this waiting is not a sit and wait, it's an act and wait. It's an action waiting. It's you're waiting while you're serving the Lord, while you're doing God's will, while you're doing the things that God wants you to do and is asking you to do. I think about the story of Ruth, and the Bible says that Ruth clung to Naomi. She got herself and she wrapped herself around Naomi, and she says, I'm not letting you go. You're not leaving here without me. I'm holding on to you. And that's at least in part, the general idea of when it says those that wait upon the Lord. It's an action thing that you're doing. You're not sitting there. You see, what most Christians do, most Christians will sit there and almost like a toddler, almost in a very childish way. Maybe a toddler, maybe even the best way. Maybe a preteen. Maybe that's the best way to say it. And they'll sit there and they'll, well, God, I'm going to sit here and wait for you to do something. And if you finally do something, then I'll know what to do and I'll follow what you want me to do. Here we go, God. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to wait for you. And that's not the idea of what the Bible is talking about. You're not sitting there waiting, almost trying to say, well, God, I'm not doing anything until you do something. I'm not doing anything until you make me know and beyond any shadow of any doubt, you make me know something and I'm just not going to do anything. And you can't blame me for that, God. That's not the idea of waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord is not sitting and doing nothing. Waiting on the Lord is binding yourself up in God, twisting yourself up in God, and doing everything. Here's the key, doing everything that he's already said to do. Because there's so much that God has already said to do that we know to do that you will never not have something to do for God. Never. Never. You will always have something to do for God. I remember I've always told my kids when they were little growing up, and they would sit down and say, well, I'm just going to sit. I would say to them, there's always something to do. There's never not something to do. Someone that is serving God finds in the Word of God things to do. If you're a part of the city on a hill, God has spoken so much to us. There's never not something for us to do as we are preparing this ark for what God is doing. There's never not something to do. Never. There's always something to do, always something to say, always something to give. There's always something. You have to find those things that are in the Word of God so that, because the devil counts. He counts on God's people at some point sitting there and saying, okay, I need a rest. Or okay, I don't know what to do. Or okay, I'm gonna have a false religious thing and say I'm gonna sit here and wait for God. That sounds good. That sounds like a good thing. Well, I'm going to sit here and wait for God. That sounds so religious, but that's not biblical. That's not what the Word of God teaches. The Word of God doesn't teach to sit there and say, well, I'm going to sit here and just wait for God to make me know what to do. No, there's always something to do to according to the Word of God. And like Ruth clinging to Naomi, we certainly always need to be in that position of clinging to God. And you know, we as I said a few moments ago, we cop out of things. We tell ourselves that we're not going to do something because we'll say something like, well, I'm just not wired like that. You ever heard someone say that? That's not how I'm wired. I'm wired a different way. And so we convince ourselves that we don't have to do things that the Bible clearly teaches we're to do. Let me give you an example. This is a basic example. It's a small example, but it's something that comes to my heart that I remember my dad used to say. He used to say to people when they would say, well, I'm just not comfortable shouting. I'm not comfortable shouting because that's not how I'm wired. I'm not wired as a shouter. And I remember Dad saying in ministering, he said, no. He said, every person is a shouter. And he said, this is the reason why. He said, because the Bible gives us a command. It says, shout to the Lord. It doesn't give it as a request or something that maybe you can do. It commands. It says, shout to the Lord. All the earth, everything, shout to the Lord. He said, that's a command. He said, and if God commands it, then you're a shouter. And that's a very small, small example of what I'm trying to get across here. But the Word of God is filled with things like that, that God has commanded that we should look through the Word of God and say, God, you commanded this. And while I am waiting for a miracle in an area, while I am waiting for direction in an area, while I am waiting for a door to open in an area, while I'm waiting for victory in an area, while these things that I know, God, I believe that you're going to do, I'm going to find those things that you've commanded. And I'm going to do those things because I know without faith, you cannot please God. And so I'm going to have faith enough to do all those things you've commanded while I'm waiting for the other things to happen. And so you see, this whole idea of just waiting on the Lord, it's become a cop-out of sorts for God's people to do nothing. And even more, probably the better way to say it, it's become a cop-out for people to be able to do what they want to do. Not just to do nothing, but to do what they want to do. Well, if God wants me at his house every single Sunday, then God can send an angel and tell me that. Again, you say, well, I've never said that, but that's the kind of thing that people think in their heart. They think like that. Well, God can do anything. Because it sounds so good. God can do anything. It sounds like faith, but it's not. God can do anything. So if God wants me to go to church every single Sunday, then he can send an angel and tell me, because God can do anything. If God really wants us to forsake all these dead churches and find where the anointing is and get into this ark that this man of God says he's talking about, then God can send me an angel. But that's not how it works. God has given us a historic anointing here with sign after sign, wonder after wonder, miracle after miracle, everything that we cannot ask anymore of God. And God has given us this revelation. Now our job is to obey. That's it. Our job is just to obey. And we use again as well, let's wait on God. I said during our Wednesday night, I said, you know, God has given us things that he's asking us to do here at the City on a Hill. He's asking us prophetically to do some things. And I said, don't think to everyone listening, I said, don't think to yourself that you can say, well, God will do it if we have more money, or if we have, Lord, you send us 3,000 people, we'll do it. 3,000 more people, Lord, will do it. But that's not how God works. I said to them, what if Noah had said that? What if Noah had said, well, God, there's just 8 of us here in my family. If you want me to build this ark and to save creation, you want me to do that? You send me, you know, you send 5,000 people here to back me up and we'll do it. What if he had said that? He didn't and he couldn't. He had to do what God said for him to do while he was waiting for the rain to start. While he was waiting, remember we're talking about waiting on the Lord, while he was waiting for the flood to start, while he was waiting for God to do something, he had to obey what God had already said. He couldn't sit there and say, well, God, you send me angels to help me. God, you send me, you know, 5,000 people to help me. You send whatever it is. He couldn't do that. He had to take himself and his family. There were 8 of them. He had to take those people and say, all right, God told us to do it. If God told us to do it, he'll help us. And again, I say to this historic anointing, God has told us what to do. He said, he spoke to my dad and mom 40 years ago, build an ark. And now that ark is here. And now God told us, prepare the ark and get in, because one day the door is going to be shut. And he said, as God has shown in his word, you go read it for yourself over and over again. Once it's shut, it's shut. So I encourage you, you want to be a part of a historic anointing, come here and wait on the Lord with us. But we're not waiting on the Lord by sitting on our hands. We're doing everything that God has told us to do, everything that God is asking us to do. And when you do that, then the rest of the scripture comes to pass, where it says, those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. I am a big believer that God not only is able, but he wants to give strength to you day after day after day. He doesn't want you ever growing weary. He doesn't want you ever growing tired. He wants you, you know, Paul said, do not grow weary in well-doing. I believe God wants that for you. He says, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Now listen. You won't just feel, oh, I feel a little rested. It says you're going to be so rested that you're going to mount up with wings above everything and everyone else like eagles. It says you shall run and not be weary. Think about that. Think about going and running a race and being done and saying, I felt like I didn't even run. They shall walk and not faint. What a promise of God. But you have to understand what it means to wait on the Lord. It doesn't mean you sit there and you say, all right, God, I'm waiting on you to do something. All right, God, I'm waiting on an answer from you. All right, God, I'm going to show great faith and great trust in you. I'm going to sit here and wait. That's not how the word of God teaches. That's not what waiting on the Lord means. That's not. Yes, sometimes we do have to wait for victory. Yes, sometimes we do have to wait for God to defeat the enemies. Yes, we sometimes do have to wait for specific things, but you don't wait by saying, all right, God, I'm waiting on you. You wait by binding yourself up in God. And by doing everything that God has already spoken, because you have so much faith and trust in God. I hope this has ministered to you today. We can't take shortcuts when serving God. And that's what humanity wants to do. Humanity always looks for shortcuts. And again, that sounds like a good thing. Well, the shortest way from A to B is a direct line. That's a good thing. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says get on the highway of holiness. And the highway of holiness might go there and here and back and this. It might take you a roundabout way, but it's going to get you there in obedience to God. It's going to get you there pleasing God. So while it sounds so good to say, let's find the shortest way, that's not God's way. God's way is the highway of holiness every single time. Praise the Lord. Let me remind you, Sunday at 11 o'clock, right at 11, we have communion every Sunday morning. Come and join us for communion this Sunday, and then worship as with us as we go before the Lord. Wednesdays at 7 o'clock, we have different things going on different Wednesdays. Come and join us and see what God is doing here. Watch all our devotions, and if you want to give to the work of the Lord, go to PayPal and give to City on the Hill, Loganville. I pray God's richest blessings upon you, but most of all, I pray God gives you understanding of His word. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. He said, "Behold, I come quickly," and we're going to do everything God is asking us to do to make it happen. God bless you.